Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. The sermon title tonight is very simple. It's one word. It's the word joy. The word joy. Matthew chapter 2, find verse number 9. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 9. Stand with me, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 2, starting with verse number 9. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says, "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw that the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Look back this way, if you would. You can see the Bible says they rejoiced and they had great joy. One of the parts or one of the elements or one of the benefits of Jesus' coming is this subject of joy. His coming brought joy. But the life that we live for Jesus Christ is to be a life of joy. And we're going to talk about that just for a few minutes tonight. Let's pray. Father, bless us now. Oh, a very simple teaching, but maybe just another little touch from heaven will make our Christmas day what it ought to be. Thank you for these good people. Now, Holy Spirit of God, reach down from heaven and help us. May we leave here tonight a little more joyful than when we came in, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. In that passage, you see that they rejoiced, and that's the word joy there. The prefix re means again. In other words, they had visited something that brought joy, and now they're rejoying, or they're again enjoying it. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things like that in the Christian life. The day I got saved, it brought joy. I have rejoiced about that day over and over and over again. The day that I married my wife, she was my high school sweetheart. That brought joy. And I have rejoiced about that day over and over again. The day that our children were born, it brought joy. I go off and on with that one. You all know what I mean, right, parents? The apostle John said, "I have no greater joy than to see what my children walk in truth." Well, if it is a child that can produce the greatest joy, a child is also responsible for the other end of the spectrum. And so we all do understand that. But it's obvious that they rejoiced. In other words, something that had brought joy, they allowed it to bring joy again. So they repeated that joy. God wants you and I to have joy. Now, I won't make a big deal about this, but I will teach you a little something about the word joy and the word happiness. There's a bit of a difference. Within the word happiness, you find the word happenings. That's where you get happiness, from happenings. In other words, something that happens on the outside brings an emotional stimulus to you, and that gets you happy. Now, joy's different. Joy is something that is on the inside, and it starts on the inside of you, and it works its way out. Happiness starts on the outside and works its way in. Joy is something that you can control. You know, happenings you can't control. You say, "I'm made happy when people give me gifts." Okay, that means other people control your happiness. You'll only be happy when other people choose to make you happy. You can have joy, though, by giving gifts. That's something that you can control. So, and again, I don't want to fuss over the word joy and happiness, but they are a bit different. God wants us to have joy. The birth of Christ, it brought joy. So let me say to everybody here, I think God wants you to have joy. I don't think God wants you to be depressed. I think God wants you to have joy. I don't think God wants you to be sad. When He came, we sing the song, "Joy to the World. The Lord is come." Folks, that's something about which we can rejoice He came all the way back then, and we ought to revisit that joy over and over and over again. And it was great joy. Now, there's a little outline. You've probably heard it. I've heard it, but I'm going to use it tonight. It's an acrostical outline for the word joy, J-O-Y. Let me tell you what it is, then I'm going to talk about it for a few minutes. J stands for Jesus, if you will. Let's put Jesus first. O stands for others. Let's put others second. Y stands for yourself or you. Put yourself last. If you would put Jesus first, J, others second, O, yourself last, Y, you would find yourself experiencing real joy. Now, it doesn't spell joy if it's Y-O-J. That'd be putting yourself first. You say, but I still have others in there second. I know, but if you put Jesus last and yourself first, you're going to have a problem. You say, well, I've got that O out in front. Others first. I don't know what O-J-Y stands for or what O-Y-J stands for. You say, but I'll put others first. You need to put Jesus first. You need to put others second. You need to put yourself last. And that order, that sequence, that is what will bring this thing called joy. I'm going to read to you from Philippians chapter 2, and it says this. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now, that verse tells us why we put Jesus at the top of the list. That name above every name. And it's not just the name of Jesus. It's who Jesus is and what Jesus is. He's to be at the top of our list. Jesus first. Some of you will remember Dr. Jerry Falwell, who in his heyday was an independent fundamental Baptist, and he made an impact in our country. I'll never forget that Jerry Falwell, he was one of the only men at that era in history that had a television program that actually presented the gospel the right way, and they had made a whole bunch of lapel pins that said Jesus first on them. I was sorting through some things one day a couple years ago, and I found a Jesus First lapel pin. And that kind of dates me a little bit here. But boy, I was excited to see that. You know what it reminded me of? I want to keep Jesus first in my life. I want to keep Jesus first in my ministry. And in all things, it's not just a thing at Christmas. Right now, you know, we talk about he's the reason for the season, and he is. And for weeks now, I've been saying, I don't understand churches that are going to cancel church for Jesus' birthday. That doesn't make sense to me. He's to be at the top of our list. I hope he is at the top of your list, but not just for Christmas. For New Year's, too. For all of January. Make Jesus first in all of February and March and April and May and June and July and August and September and October and November and December. Jesus ought to come first. He ought to come first place, and he ought to get first place when it comes to our time, when it comes to our money, when it comes to our relationships, when it comes to our love. I think you and I are to love each other. We're to love others. But folks, love Jesus the most. Love Jesus the most, which means this. My wife and I, we exchange I love yous a lot. Boy, when I talk to my kids, I sign off with I love yous. I know this, and it is only by God's mercy and grace that I can say this, but I can tell you this. There is no person on the face of this earth that hears the words I love you out of my mouth more than Jesus does. Matter of fact, you can add up all the I love yous that I give, and there are people in this room, I'll say to you, I love you. And I tell my family I love them. You can add them all together, but I tell Jesus I love him the most. Why? He is supposed to be at the top of my love list. If you want joy, put Jesus, that J, put him out in front. Put him out in front in your time and in your money and your relationships and your love and your thought life and your behavior. Just put Jesus first. And it's going to produce joy. You know, let's say you struggle with some depression. If you struggle with depression and you say, you know what, I'm going to concentrate on myself and I'm going to take care of this depression. Just the mere concentrating on yourself is probably what caused it in the first place. You think about you too much. You say, well, I want to get me cared for. Let me tell you, one of the best things in the world you can do if you're depressed, let's talk about Jesus. Think about Jesus. Then you go to thinking about others. And then finally, yourself. Most of the time, depressed people are thinking about themselves, their situation, their feelings, their lot in life, what's happening to them. And that's not going to cut it. You want joy, put Jesus first. Keep Jesus out in front. Put Jesus at the top of your list. Put Jesus at on your mind. Put a song about Jesus on your lips. And I promise you, it'll help. So we put Jesus first. And that will get us on the pathway to J-O-Y, joy. Now, not only should we put Jesus first, secondly, we ought to think of others next. I'm going to read to you from Philippians chapter 2, verse number 4. And the Bible says this, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Huh. You know, I need to be careful that I'm not putting me second. There are some, they say, well, I'm going to try to put Jesus first. I really believe if you are putting Jesus first, you'll know that you go third and that others come second. But you want to be careful. You need to keep others in your life. The world gets a little bit mixed up. The key to getting out of a depressed state, one of the keys of getting out of a discouraged state, is think about others. Help others. Get your eyes on others. It'll make a difference. In a marriage, one of the best things you'll ever do in your marriage is put Jesus first and then your spouse second. Most marital struggles are because someone put themselves higher on the list than they put the other people in their family. If every man would decide he's not going to be on the top of his list, what he wants, what he needs, what he demands, but let it be the other people in the family. If every lady would do the same thing. In a marriage, if we would not be concerned about ourselves so much, but we would find ourselves concerned about the other members of our family, it would make a big difference. I think brothers and sisters, if they would do the same thing. Brothers and sisters that don't get along at home, I really happen to believe that if they would put Jesus first in their life, and then every brother get more concerned about his brother or his sister than he is himself, and every sister get more concerned about her brother or her sister than she is about herself, you would get rid of some of the discouragement and get rid of some of the depression in life, and you put Jesus first and you put others second. You do that with your brothers and sisters. You do that in your marriage. Boy, I realize out there when we leave the church, it's a bit of a dog-eat-dog world. I have to tell you, though, I really believe in the dog-eat-dog world. We ought to be remembering others. Others. Remember others. When you're out and about, and there can sometimes be it's the shopping season, so people are racing to buy the good deals. I don't think it's a Christian thing to start a fist fight in the aisle at Walmart over the very last Black Friday gift. You know, there's that one that was marked down and there was only one left. I really don't think that there ought to be a fight with you as a Christian and somebody else over something like that. You say, but it's a good deal. I'm trying to be thrifty with my money. I know, but you're all supposed to be thrifty with your Christianity. And that means being appropriate with your Christianity. Out in the world, it is a dog-eat-dog world. But folks, don't get so caught up in the secular philosophies of promote thyself and push yourself up. And if you don't take care of you, who's going to take care of you? I know an element of that is necessary so that you can go forward, but I'm going to tell you, if you're not careful, you'll start thinking like the world and acting like the world, and you'll be stabbing people in the back, and you'll do anything to get a promotion, and you'll do anything to get what you want. Did you know that God is still alive? You know, the Bible teaches that all promotion cometh from above. Did you know that if you, for some reason, if somebody else did well and you let them and you were glad for them that they did well out in the workforce, I don't know that you're doing a wrong thing. Shouldn't you and I be glad if somebody else got a raise? Or shouldn't we be glad if somebody else got a promotion? Is Christianity all about you? Are we supposed to live the Christian life while we're here at 804 U.S. Highway 70 East, and then we walk off the property and we live and act like the rest of the world? I don't think so. I don't think so. I still happen to believe that in business, whether it's in your venture as an employer or as an employee, being good to people and doing some things for others is still a good idea. You say, why? Because God is keeping track. God is keeping track. God's taking care of the records. You say, but if I'm good to them, they might prosper and I won't. God is the one that prospers you. God's not blind. God knows when you have taken care of somebody else and you met the need of another. So, this thing of Jesus first, if we'll put him at the top of our list, Jesus first, J. Then we put others second. And that's that O. I think you're going to find yourself having joy. Now, when you mix all of these up, you will end up with some happiness based on what happens to you. But if you'll put Jesus first and others second and yourself last, you can have that internal joy, that thing that is produced through your obedience to Christ, the thing that you can control. Remember, if what you do for me is what makes me happy, then you're in control of me. But if what I do is what gives me joy, I can be in control of my joy. I'm going to promise you, most of the time when people are depressed, they are looking at what's coming toward them instead of finding things within them to send out to create joy. Happiness comes in. Joy flows out. So when we talk about Jesus first and others, you say, well, are we just out to make everybody else happy? Oh, the whole key to your happiness is you trying to help someone else. So, J, Jesus first. O, other second. And then finally, Y, yourself last. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 3, it says this. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. In other words, put yourself last. This does not say that you have to deny yourself of everything. That's not what it's teaching. It's teaching you put Jesus at the top of your list, then you attend to others, and then you'll take care of you. This morning, I preached a whole sermon entitled, My Christmas Gift From Me to Me. Well, it was really all about me getting myself where I need to be with God, and by so doing, I'd be doing myself a big favor and everyone around me, and it's something that doesn't cost a thing, and it could revolutionize everything around me, including me, which would be good for me and everybody else. But finally, we come in the joy list to myself. I think that many times depression comes because of stinginess. Depression comes because I didn't get what I wanted. I wanted that. I didn't get it. I think I deserve better. You've always got to remember something. Always. If we got what we deserved, we would have died and gone to hell. And whatever we get in life is better than hell. And so if you didn't get everything you wanted, at least you didn't get everything you deserved. And that ought to encourage you and you ought to feel better about things. But yourself, put yourself last. Hey, in a lot of things, many of you will associate. I didn't grow up dirt poor. We did not nearly freeze to death in our house, and we had food. We didn't go to the garbage cans in the neighborhood and drag out food so we could stay alive. But I didn't grow up rich. When I grew up, we actually had, not as a novelty, but we used some ball jars as cups to drink, and we had plastic. I think it was Fleshman's margarine bowls. We'd buy margarine, which is probably the plastic that the bowl's in is better for you than the margarine in the bowl. But and they had multiple colors, and to my mother, it was a great collection. She had all these colors of these plastic bowls, and that's what we ate our cereal out of. And we just didn't have a lot of money. We ate an awful lot of eggs, and to me, a hot dog was like steak. But we were not rich at all. But I discovered something in growing up. I discovered that if I didn't want a lot, I was happier. If you want a lot, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. Picture this. If you want a lot and you get a little, you're disappointed. Watch. You really want help? Some of you depressed people? Some of you unsatisfiable desires. Let me teach you something. Want nothing. You're depressed. Let me help you. Want nothing. Then everything you get is good. I promise you, if you and I could have a heart-to-heart, when you're most depressed, if you'd come see me and I could tell you the truth, we could analyze you, and you're not getting something you want. Want nothing. Everything else is a bonus. If you will keep your expectation low, then everything else in life will be higher than that. Did you know something? Did you know that there is somebody that wants to live in your house, and to them, it would be a castle? But you want somebody else's. If you wanted yours, you could be very satisfied. Satisfaction is not found in what you have. And really, listen to me. Some of you don't think I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you right now. Satisfaction is not discovered in what you have. Satisfaction is found in what you are. And if it's always, I got to have more, you're an unsatisfied person. And you set yourself up for that. You could today say, I want my house. Then you'd be satisfied. I want my food. I want my clothes. I want my wife. I want my husband. I want my church. That's what I want. If you wanted what you have, you could be very happy. And God has given you what you have. And it's a slap in God's face when you're not satisfied with what God gave you. I'm not trying to eliminate advancement, but advancement to satisfy your spoiled passions, you're setting yourself up for depression. Joy. Jesus first. Others second. Yourself last. Don't set yourself up for depression. Decide you want your car. You want your clothes. You want your house. And tomorrow will get so much better for you. Expectations destroy our spirit. When you start expecting all sorts of things for yourself and then you don't get them, that is, your spirit is being controlled by what's coming to you. You need to get your spirit under control so your spirit is controlled by what's coming out of you. It's going out, not coming in. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. The Bible says they had joy. They rejoiced. Matter of fact, it even talks about a great joy that they had. I want you to have joy in life. The secular mind is all about things. The Christian mind is all about Jesus and people. And if you'll get that, it'll help you to be happy. It'll help you to be happy, or better yet, it'll give you the joy that the Bible teaches. An easy outline. Everybody here ought to be able to remember it. J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, why yourself last. That will probably solve any difficulty that you are facing in your life, whether it's relationships or situations in life. With joy, let it help your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never received Jesus as your Savior, we invite you to the Savior. I think that maybe there is someone here tonight that would say, you know, Pastor, I want joy in my life. I do want joy in my life. Get Jesus out front. Then serve others. Take care of others second. Then put yourself at the end of the line. God will take care then that you would have the joy of the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. How do I get that strength? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. I've been challenged tonight in some area of my life. Would you raise your hand so God can see it? Now, you may put your hand down. Maybe you need a moment at the altar. Maybe you ought to leave your seat, come down here, get on your knees and say, you know what, Lord, I want that joy. I've got to get Jesus out front. I need to get others out front. I need to stop worrying about me. I've got to stop being concerned so much about myself. Get the proper sequence. It's J-O-Y, not Y-O-J, not O-Y-J. It's J-O-Y. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, I need to adjust some things. I need to work on some things. I need to rethink some things in my life. Put Jesus first. Put others second. Put yourself last. God is not recommending that you destroy yourself. No, no. He said just put Jesus first, others second, and then attend to yourself. And if you will, I think you'll see some discouragement leave your life. I think you'll see some depression leave your life. Joy. God wants you to have joy. If I put others first, they may beat me. Well, you know something? Really, God's the one that's in charge of the race that we run, and it is one that is a spiritual race, not just a secular race. I'm not saying there should not be aggression in your life. I'm not saying there should not be a sense of accomplishment in your life. I think there should be. Just keep Jesus first. Be concerned about the feelings of others and the needs of others and what others might need. And then finally, yourself last. Joy. J-O-Y. Some of you are not happy. It's not just that you're not happy today. It's you're not a happy person. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. One more time through the song, if you will, Brother Hollinger.